Greetings to you, brothers and sisters of Melbourne. From California, I'm Edward Taylor, and I'm pleased to have this opportunity to share with you in this time of Holy Week, the preaching and teaching of God's Word. I'd like to thank your pastor Nathan Nettleton, and all of you members of Sick Baps, which has to be the coolest nickname of any church I've ever encountered anywhere in the world, for this opportunity. I'm grateful to the pastor for his invitation, and I pray that the Lord would bless and keep us as we explore together in the Word on this day. Turn with me, if you will, to the book of John, chapter 20, beginning with verse 11. The book of John, chapter 20, beginning with verse 11, I am reading today from the King James Version. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had said, she turned back and saw Jesus, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself, and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren, and say unto them, I have ascended unto my Father, and to your Father, and to my God, and your God. And Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples what she had, that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. I want to talk with you for the few minutes that I have been allotted today from the subject, A question for our tears. A question for our tears. Tears have a unique place in our lives, both emotionally and physically. They seem to occur in all kinds of circumstances. They appear on our faces in times of joy, in times of sorrow, in times of laughter, disappointment, pain, grief, excitement, love, and many others. No doubt if we were to try to recall some of the unique circumstances of our lives as individuals, these various moments in which we shed a tear would come to mind. Perhaps it would be the birth of a child, wedding day, receiving a job promotion, or the loss of a loved one. Life is filled with seemingly a tear for every occasion. Even the events in which we discuss today, this week, the events of Holy Week, have occasions for which one could be joyful and one could be sad. For instance, the joyful entry of Jesus into Jerusalem might cause one to cry. Or the loneliness that Jesus experienced in the Garden of Gethsemane. Or the tears shed by the women who loved Jesus, who watched him as he died on the cross. Or as in the words of our text today, the tears shed at the tomb. Regrettably, we now live in a world this COVID-filled world in which there are many occasions for us to cry because of sadness that has occurred in our lives. Perhaps it is the loss of a loved one, or feeling separated from family, the loss of income because of lack of employment, or sheer anxiety about what tomorrow might bring. It is at a moment of anxiety that the words of our text occur. It's a moment of distress. It is a moment of separation. At the time in which the text occurs, the judicial trials of Jesus are over. The hammer ringing at Calvary is now silent, and Jesus has been placed in a borrowed tomb. But early on Sunday morning, the tomb is visited by Magdalene in this particular text. And she finds the tomb empty, and she runs back to tell the good news that Jesus is not in the tomb. Peter, and we believe from the reading of the text, John, go to the tomb, racing to get there. They find that Jesus is not there. They return home, but Mary hangs around the tomb for a little while. And there, hanging around the tomb, she encounters two angels. And the angels ask her this unusual question. They ask, "Why weepest thou?" It is a question of concern. It is a pastoral question coming from beings who already know what has happened to Jesus. They approach her, perhaps wanting to know, why is it she's crying? Doesn't she already know the promises that Jesus made, that he was going to rise on the next day? Perhaps they know that her heart is troubled. But they ask of her, "Why weepest thou?" They ask her this in Mary's defense. They're asking this with her not understanding that such things are possible. That resurrection, as foretold in the scriptures, actually can take place. Today, we have somewhat of a great advantage. We live in a post-resurrection world. We live in a world in which we have some knowledge, if not belief, that resurrection is possible. But imagine today that we put ourselves in Mary's shoes. Mary is first to the tomb. She is first to find that Jesus is not there. But she's also first to understand, in her lack of understanding, that resurrection is possible. She is the first of the pre-resurrection crowd. She's the first then in grief. She's the first in hopelessness. She's the first in disappointment. She's the first in finding herself in high anxiety because Jesus cannot be found. And the angels ask her this question, "Why weepest thou?" They ask knowing the answer, but also they ask, perhaps laced within that question is a hint at what happened to Jesus. Well, before Mary could reply, the text says that she sees a person. It's Jesus, but she doesn't know that it's Jesus. The man she supposes to be the caretaker, the gardener of the cemetery. She asks him, "Do you know where they've taken Jesus?" And the caretaker is asking her, "Why weepest thou?" Not the gardener, as she supposes, but Jesus. He's asking that question. Gardner Taylor, no relation to me, a great American preacher, has said, "This is a strange question in a cemetery. After all, people often cry in cemeteries. It would not be an unusual sight to see someone crying in a cemetery." Well, the positive notes of this strange question unfold themselves in the dialogue between Mary and Jesus. She asks, where has Jesus been taken? The text says that they recognize. She does not recognize who Jesus is. She sees a person there, but she does not recognize. She sees him, but she does not see with belief, with their eyes of faith, to recognize that it is the resurrected Jesus. She still has a pre-resurrection mindset. Seeing and believing are not the same things. Seeing allows us to observe what is before us, but belief has the power of faith in the promises of God, in the power of God to make things that are impossible come to pass. That is the faith that allows us to believe without seeing. And when we cannot see, we still trust in God. As Spurgeon says, if we cannot see his hand, trust his heart. Seeing and believing are not the same. But then Jesus calls her by her name, says, Mary. And immediately the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. Thanks be to God, we have a God who does not couch us all together as a crew to be numbered, but counts us as children to be named. He calls her by her name, and she recognizes that is now Jesus. And the text does not tell us, but by the fact that Jesus says, touch me not, indicates that perhaps she tried to embrace Jesus. But Jesus says, I have not yet ascended unto my Father. There's still part of his work has still yet to be done. After the resurrection, Jesus is still working on our behalf. And that is good news for each one of us, for every person to know that Jesus has resurrected and Jesus is still working on our behalf. Therein is the meaning of this question for our tears. It is that Jesus is not dead. He is alive. We only cry because someone is dead and has not come back. But if that person is still yet alive, there is no need for our tears. And so that is the good news that we proceed with on this fine evening. And that is, if no matter what state you find yourself in today, please know Jesus is still alive. If you are a person who finds yourself alone, Jesus is still alive. To the saint who has been consumed by some sickness or pain, Jesus is still alive. To the person who all too well is acquainted with grief, Jesus is still alive. And to those who have lost a loved one, Jesus is saying to us tonight, why are you crying? I am not dead in the grave. I am alive. I am risen, and I am Lord. This is good news for me personally today. I am late recording this message and posting it for your viewing, because early this morning I received news that the matriarch of our family, my Aunt Lee, has gone on to be with the Lord, and that only a few hours before, the patriarch of our family, Uncle Herman, also went on to be with the Lord. It is a hard day. But what gives me rest, as soon as I was awakened to receive that news, I started to have trembling and anxiety. But this word that I had been looking forward to sharing with you today came back to me in a marvelous way. That was as if a voice said to me, Ed, why weepest thou? We are not without hope. We have belief in one who sustains us through every circumstance and through every trial and every tribulation. We have belief in the one who has power to transform the brokenness of this world into the good graces in which we all live in his presence forever. No wonder the Revelator shares with us in Revelation 21 and 4, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." So do you, my brothers and sisters in Melbourne. Whatever state you're in, I ask you today, why weepest thou? A question for your tears. May the Lord bless and keep each and every one of you.